Hey, everybody. In a time when we need to be building bridges more than ever before, that's exactly what we're doing today on The Checkout. When the flautist composer Jamie Baum embarked on an exploration of her own Jewish heritage, she uncovered some other deeper truths and connections between Arabic, Middle Eastern, Hindu, South Asian practices and ritual. Jamie Baum will hear to tell us all about that and bring us music from this absolutely fantastic band celebrating a new recording called Bridges, coming to the Cell Theater May 26th, a CD release party in New York City. Jamie Baum, please take it away. We just heard Joyful Lament, a melody by the Pakistani singer Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, here arranged by Jamie Baum, who joins us in studio. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
That tune is a bridge tune, I would say. What are you trying to do with this concept of bridges and how it relates to your Guggenheim Fellowship?
Well, our last recording in this life had a lot of influences from South Asian music, in particular Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. I had done a lot of traveling in India and Nepal and Bangladesh and played with a lot of musicians there. And when I went there in 2002 or 2003, I was introduced to the music of Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. The more I listened to him, the more I just became so enamored with his singing and spent a lot of time watching YouTube videos of him and decided to work on some arranging some of his music. And he was really someone who did cross a bridge. I mean, he brought the Qawwali singing, their Qawwali style, to the West and did, in fact, projects with quite a few musicians. Rai Cooter, Peter Gabriel was going to do something with Michael Jackson. And I was asked so many times why I was so into his music. And after talking with a friend of mine who was Jewish and lived in India for 20 years studying the music, we found that there were deep connections between Sufi and Jewish mysticism from like the 9th century through the 13th century. That sort of started me on a path of really exploring all the cross currents between a lot of the religions and how there's a lot of shared scales and a lot of shared poetry and beliefs, in fact. And it just seems that we need to uncover that. So my project was in particular to try to look at some of the shared scales and some of the shared music and sensibility between the South Asian maqam and some of the Jewish music that I really experienced growing up the first 13 years of my life. So a lot of the older vocal pieces, a lot of the singing, a lot of the melodies from the older Jewish religion, they're very similar in a lot of ways to maqam and Middle Eastern music.
Is there an easy way you can break it down, how Qawwali fits in a parallel universe to the music that you grew up in a Jewish household?
Well, I think if you look at the way that a lot of the scales were treated, and there's a lot of embellishment and a lot of connection between the spiritual and the music and how it's sung and how the scales and the melodies are developed. Also, certain scales and certain melodies are sung at certain holidays or certain times of day or to evoke certain emotions. And so a lot of that is very similar. And also, there's a belief that music is more of a direct line to God, whatever that God is, than perhaps words. And so I think you can find a lot of that spirituality, whether it's literal or not. And I think for me, you know, it's really interesting if you look at South Asian music or even some maqam or you look at some of the Jewish scales, you know, there's not a lot of harmony. You know, you go to the West and so it's almost kind of like a no-brainer. There's this wide open field of what you can do with it, you know, by adding harmony or understanding how the scales work.
And you studied at the New England Conservatory Third Stream Program, which is basically the bridge program between cultures, right?
Well, I started in that program and then I switched to jazz because I just kind of realized that before I could bridge a lot of ideas, I needed to get grounded in one or a couple, you know. And then, but in a sense, I think it was an influence on me. I think also, you know, I have a lot of different tastes. I've always been interested in trying to find different formats for improvisation that would kind of inspire. You know, we all grew up, come up learning licks and a lot of ways of approaching music. And so if you throw someone in a different situation, they're forced to sort of think on their feet and maybe push themselves to play a little differently. And I think I'm always trying to look for that kind of thing, too.
So what's the next bridge we're going to walk on, Jamie Baum?
We're going to actually travel now from Pakistan to Nepal, and we're going to do a movement that I wrote as part of the Shiva Suite most important deities in Hindu and also some Buddhist religion. As you know, you were there. We did a big fundraiser for Nepal after the earthquake at Le Poisson Rouge. And after that, I wrote a suite called Honoring Nepal, a suite for Nepal. First movement was the earthquake, and this is kind of the renewal coming out of that.
Honoring Nepal, the Shiva Suite, Part 2, Renewal, from the Jamie Baum Septet on her album Bridges. Please introduce your band. Who's here with us today?
Okay, on piano we have John Escreet, Amir El-Safar on trumpet and vocal, Sam Sadagursky on alto sax and bass clarinet, Chris Comer on French horn, Brad Shepik on guitar, Jeff Hirschfield on drums, and Zach Lober on the bass.
So, Jamie Baum, tell me, do you consider yourself playing sacred or secular music here?
Oh, wow. It would be too lofty to consider it sacred. On a certain level, I think music is spiritual for most people, you know, because you put your spirit in it. And, you know, depending on when you're playing and what you're playing and when you're listening and how you're feeling, it means different things to different people at different times. So,
as you delve into these religious traditions on that last tune, you're honoring Nepal. Why do you want to honor a place like Nepal? And how is Nepal doing since 2015 during that devastating earthquake that took out 50% of its nation's GDP? Like, that's devastating.
It is devastating. I mean, they weren't a wealthy country by any means. You know, I've been very lucky. I've been there twice for about 10 days, 2 weeks each time, and played with musicians there and played in their festival and became really good friends with the person who organizes the festival, who himself is a very fine drummer and percussionist and vocalist, who's on my CD.
Is that Jamie or Navin?
Naveen.
That's
Chetri.
Naveen.
Yeah.
And he sings beautifully.
Yeah, he's amazing. So, you know, having gone there, it's a really magical place. You know, it's kind of been a crossroads for a number of years, the East and sort of a little more west, you know, and people think back in the 60s or 70s, you know, there was a lot of hippies and there was a scene there because it's a very laid back place, much more laid back than India, but really beautiful. And the buildings there are just incredible, you know, and you feel such a sense of history there because there's very little that's changed. I mean, the insides of the buildings, you know, they've modernized to some degree, but unfortunately, not very little of it is earthquake proof. And so it was really sad to see on a lot of the videos that I saw that so many of the places that I'd seen were sort of completely demolished. And I know that my friend Naveen ended up moving here for a while. His wife is actually from here, so because things have been really tough there, you know, and we wanted to do the benefit, it's just, you know, there's so much news every day that, you know, something happens somewhere and so quickly people forget. Even recently, I think they changed the visa for a lot of the Nepalese that have come here until things get better there. So it's really difficult for them. I mean, I think they're very resilient people, as oftentimes is the case in a lot of places like that. And they find a way, but it's not easy, you know. But it's a wonderful place, and there's a lot of music and beauty and beautiful people. So, you know, they're managing somehow.
Which place next are you going to be taking us, Jamie?
This next piece is going to be a song without words. And this is a piece that I wrote in honor of my father, who passed away about 4 years ago. It was influenced by a piece that I really love that's played on Yom Kippur. I grew up listening to this, but it's really, you know, if you're a cello player, every cello player is
and
working.
This is the ultimate self-identifying bridge tune.
It probably is. So I was influenced by that to write this piece, and so it's called Song Without Words, and we're going to feature Amir El-Safar singing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yod, Yod. Yod.
Song Without Words, dedicated to Jamie Baum's father, also based on the Aramaic declaration performed right before Yom Kippur, what Baum was listening to growing up in her household for sure. Amir El Safar, did you know that melody?
No, this was the first time I'd heard it, but it's a gorgeous melody. I only know Jamie's version of it.
It's not the melody Kol Nidre. It was just influenced by, like, the first couple of notes and the vibe.
But in terms of Kol Nidre, are you familiar with that song, the original?
I must confess I hadn't heard it before.
It's because it's fascinating to know, because there's quite a history.
Well, Kol Nidre was a prayer, and then it was set to music. And from what I saw, I mean, it's kind of played all over the world, and I saw a whole special on PBS about it. And apparently, you know, and actually I remember seeing this thing kind of shortly after I wrote the piece, and I hadn't come up with the title. And they were talking about how during the Second World War and the Holocaust, the Jews weren't allowed to sing this piece. They were allowed to either say the words or play the music, but they couldn't do both. So these rabbis all got together and they were discussing what was perhaps more a direct line to God, whether speaking this prayer or singing the music without the words was more a direct line. And they decided that the music was more a direct line. That's made me think of the title song, Without Words.
By way of the vocals of Amir El Safar, at least indirectly, who, if you don't know, has origins in Iraq, and I understand has Arabic Muslim influences, so you're sort of building bridges here.
Yeah, and that indeed the singing I was doing, especially in the very beginning, was influenced by maqam from Iraq, which was sung by Muslims, Christians, Jews. It wasn't, there wasn't a differentiation about whose property this music was, and it was just, that was the music of the people. So you can imagine, like, jazz musicians in New York playing music, sharing a vocabulary, but not based on denomination or background. It's like, here we are playing together. And that's sort of the natural bridge that's just there occurring between human beings existing in any culture. So
that's a beautiful thing. We have one more song that you're going to share with us.
And it's called There Are No Words.
There are a lot of sad songs during this set, Jamie. Are you in mourning?
Well, I mean, I didn't think about it that way, but I did write this piece, you know, around the time also that my father was ill. And so, you know, music is always a good way to express yourself or allow yourself to, you know, deal with the feelings that you're having. But hopefully there's, you know, positive thing coming out of it too. This is called There Are No Words.
Thank you.
on C, an alto flute, Jamie Baum, bringing her septet to our studio, the Jamie Baum Septet, celebrating her album Bridges this coming Friday in New Haven at Firehouse 12, and then in New York City, Manhattan at the Cell Theater Saturday, May 26, back to Connecticut at the Fairfield Theater on May 27th. The band quickly: Amir El-Safar on trumpet, Sam Sadagursky on alto sax, bass, clarinet, Chris Comer, French horn, Brad Shebeck, guitar, and singing bowls on the record. And definitely check out the record because it sounds fantastic. John Escrete on piano, Zach Lober on bass, also singing bowls, and Jeff Hirschfield on drums with some special guests. We'll take you out with original composition From the Well in a kind of unusual time signature. What time is this in?
7:08, mostly.
Jamie Baum, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, original music from Jamie Baum. Again, we thank her for joining us in her studio and introducing us to all of this music, new and old. Bridges is the name of her latest Sunnyside release. If you like the checkout, please, I urge you, give us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. Help us boost the visibility of the program and support these awesome artists like Jamie Baum. And while you're on Stitcher or iTunes, make sure to hit the subscribe button too. I'd like to give a special shout out to WBGO's production team, Corey Goldberg on our music mix, Chris Tobin shooting video. In fact, you can watch a performance of Jamie Baum performing Joyful Lament, channeling her musical hero, Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, by going to our website right now at checkoutjazz.org. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner.
Thanks for checking us out.